The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your light will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful, sunny August morning. The texts invite us to ponder deep existential questions. The writer of Ecclesiastes, the author, Coella, the teacher, invites us to think and to ponder and to wonder just what is the point? What's the point of life? Like I said, good questions for a beautiful, sunny day. What's the point of life? What's the point of riches? What's the point of pleasure? What's the point of toil? What's the point of hard work? What's the point of it all? Because the teacher, they tell us that this person was exceptionally successful at everything. All of the paths that we know that lead to success, whatever success means, this person excelled at them. Highly educated, incredibly wise, immensely successful, built buildings, followed after enjoyable times, had family and friends and wives and things. And as this teacher ponders and pauses to think about them, they find that they're vanity, meaningless, empty. The Hebrew word is havel, as if a chasing after the wind, trying to grab smoke and catch it, only to open your hands and realize you have nothing. The teacher, if you read through Ecclesiastes, which we don't in the lectionary, it shows up today, invites us to remember all the things we chase after in life. We chase, we strive, we reach, we grab, we hold, and yet time comes for all of us. And who will benefit from the things we've accumulated? Where will they go? Again and again and again, the teacher says it's meaningless, a veil, a chasing after the wind, a grabbing after smoke. And again and again and again, the teacher says that you can have nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in your work. This too, I see, is a gift from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyments? To the one who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless. Chasing after the wind. The teacher tells us that so often the things that this individual chased after and achieved found to be empty, without meaning, a vain grasping at smoke. But yet the teacher concludes that there is nothing better in life than to eat and drink and enjoy the work God has given you. To take pleasure in the lot that God has placed you in, whatever that lot might look like. And to spend time with your family and your friends and community enjoying whatever it is God has given you. To pause and to not be so focused on the what will come and to what we're striving for, but to enjoy the moment right now. To enjoy the gift that God has given you now. As the wise little tiger sage will tell us if you listen to him, enjoy the wow that is happening right now. Thank you, Fred Rogers. But to pause and enjoy the blessings, the good things we find that fill our lives, is what the teacher reminds us seems to be good. And we too need to hear the words of this teacher, because our lives are filled with chasing after these things, aren't they? We need to have a larger 401k. We need to have a larger business. We need to make sure we can provide for ourselves and store up those treasures for ourselves so that when we get old, we'll be well taken care of. And our family maybe can have a little bit of something. Who knows? But so much of our lives, so much of our culture points us at this accumulation of stuff, this gathering of things to ourselves, this to hoard it all to ourselves, that there's not enough out there. So we need to grab more for ourselves and hold on to it to make sure that we have enough, because there isn't enough to go around. And if there isn't enough to go around, I need to make sure there's enough for me. It's the message we hear again and again and again. And to that message, Jesus and the teacher speak through our text today. Jesus speaks about this rich person who has ample lands and has giant, large barns filled with goods, and they have more goods they can put in the barns, so the person tears them down to build bigger barns. The problem in the parable is not the man's richness. That is not the problem. The problem are the pronouns in the parable. The man says, "What shall I do with my wealth? I'm going to build myself bigger barns so I can have all of these riches. My soul, you are well pleased with yourself. You've done good. Let me pat myself on the back some more." He's focused on himself. Only himself. What he can gather and accumulate for his own good. He's completely turned inward. Only focusing on what he can gather. Only focusing on what he can hold for himself. And he's reminded that it'll all be demanded of him. And Jesus comes to us and reminds us of the way of God, the path that God has for us. That we are part of a community. Remember, every time Jesus heals somebody, what he does to them, he sends them back home into the community they came from. He reunites them with the people they had been withdrawn from, abandoned from, shoved away from. He restores people to community, to families, to friendships, to groups. He reminds us again and again that God made us to be a people, not a person, to be interconnected with each other. God invites us to change our pronouns from I and mine to we and ours. Again and again and again, this happens through the scriptures. Last week, we gathered to think of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, did we not? In that prayer, look at the pronouns. They're all we and ours. Not me and mine, but us. Jesus reminds us again and again and again that we are community. That what we have is for the sake of the other. What we have been given is for the sake of all of us, not just one of us. To not seek after and seek what we can grab and hold for ourselves, but to see how we can open our eyes and see what the needs are of those around us, and how we can use what God has given us for the benefit of our community, for the benefit of all people, not just me. 2 weeks ago, a bunch of our young people here at Trinity got to experience that. They went to camp up at Stony Lake, and they had an amazing time where they learned about communal living. Life together with one another, for the sake of one another, in the midst of diversity, where we all didn't look the same, we all didn't come from the same place, but we all had gifts that we could share and share them with God. And that week, three of our high schoolers got to participate in an amazing week called Bridge Builders, which I could talk about for hours, but I'm not going to right now. And these three young people had an amazing experience where Leah and Tori and Spencer did something called a privilege walk, where they were all lined up in a field. And phrases were read with instructions for you to move forward or backward as they applied to you. The point of that exercise is to help people begin to understand the privileges you have been given just by how you were born. so that people who look like me happen to be on the farthest edge forward. And at the end of that walk, they're invited to turn around and look to see where their friends are, the people they're walking with, the people who might not look the same as them. Where are they in this sliding scale of privilege? This sliding scale of being given things that you do not deserve, but you just simply have. And as your eyes are opened, to begin to invite the question to say, and what are you going to do with this power, this privilege, this thing you've been given? Not to make you feel guilty about it, but to say, what are you going to do with it? How can you maybe help try to dismantle a system? How can you help the voices of those less fortunate, less privileged than you be heard? How do your eyes begin to be opened to the needs of those around you, to see how you can share what you've been given for the sake of them? Jesus does this again and again, tries to help us open our eyes to the needs of those around us and say, what can you do with what you've been given for them? And there's a couple people that have done this well in our lives together. There's this guy, Bill. He made computer systems. And his friend, Warren, who did some massive investing. I think it was Buffett or something. They pledged to give away 99% of their personal wealth to charity before they die. These are two of the wealthiest people on the face of the planet. They could hoard their resources to themselves. They could hold on to it as tightly as they wanted to. But something in them changed to say, what we have, we can use for the sake of the other. And combined, they've given over $80, $90 billion to charities to make the world a better place, to eradicate diseases that can be eradicated, to educate people who can be educated, to bring clean water where there is none. They've done that work. They've looked at their resources and said, how can some of this help somebody else? And that happens here, close to home, too. There's this DeVos family. I think they've done something like that. Maybe you've heard of them. But to be reminded that Jesus and the teacher call us to look at the gifts we have been given and ask, what is the point? Is the point to hoard them to ourselves and cling to them as tightly as we can? Or to open our arms and see where they can be used? And to share them with those around us. To say, I've been given this. Can it help you? To open our eyes to begin to see the needs of our community and how we are drawn into them to share the gifts God has first given us. The gifts that we all know all too well. To encourage us to be outwardly focused. Not turned in on ourselves, but open to the world God has called us to. And just like that love of God that flows into us that we do not deserve, that fills us and then flows out through our lives, to let the same thing happen with the gifts God has given us, to see how they can flow out of us into the lives of the world around us. Because hard work is good. There's nothing wrong, Jesus says, with being rich. There's nothing wrong with striving and working and seeking after these things. But the question is, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to keep them to yourself? Or are you going to share them for the sake of the world? And again and again and again, Jesus implores us to follow his example, to share what we have been given, to see the needs, and to step into those places that need assistance, that need help, where we see pain, to step into them and find how the gifts we have been given can meet the needs that are right here around us each and every day. The teacher calls us to follow. Will we? My friends, let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, Father God, Spirit, help us to find our ways to use our resources, our gifts, the things you have given us for the sake of the world, starting here close to home. Help us to be outwardly focused and to use what we have to draw all people and all towards you and toward one another. In your name we pray. Amen.